You know, it's easy to think we humans have a monopoly on cleverness, but then you hear about a crow not just seeing a tasty snack, but actually figuring out how to bend a piece of wire into a hook to get it. Or a pig, totally engrossed in playing a video game with a joystick.
Mm.
It makes you wonder what else is going on in those animal brains, doesn't it?
What's fascinating is that those kinds of behaviors aren't just quirky exceptions. They really open a window into a much richer and more intricate world of animal intelligence than we typically imagine.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what we're diving into today for you. This deep dive is all about the amazing world of animal intelligence. We've pulled together some really compelling scientific research that looks at everything from, well, the simplest nerve systems to incredibly complex social lives and communication skills.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, we'll be exploring a real spectrum of life: insects, birds, mammals, including our close primate relatives, and even fish. The sheer variety in how intelligence shows up across the animal kingdom is truly remarkable.
So the mission for this deep dive, tailored for you, is to really extract the most surprising and insightful pieces from this research. We want to give you a clear yet thorough understanding of what animal intelligence actually looks like, uncovering those aha moments, and giving you a deeper appreciation for what it means for different species to have a mind. So let's start right there. What does it even mean for an animal to have a mind?
That's a really important question to kick things off. Defining mind isn't as simple as it sounds. One interesting idea is that being able to learn and use symbols in a meaningful way could be a key indicator. Think about the incredibly detailed dance that bees do in a hive. It's a symbolic language that tells other bees very precisely where to find nectar and how good it is.
Okay, let's think about that bee dance for a second. It's not just random wiggling, right? They're actually conveying complex information through these movements. It almost makes you wonder about the underlying cognitive map they must have of their environment.
Precisely. And that leads us to this fascinating concept of collective intelligence. This refers to the idea that a group can exhibit intelligence that surpasses the sum of its individual's abilities. In insect societies like ant colonies and beehives, the overall intelligence of the colony in solving problems, finding resources, and defending itself is far greater than what any single ant or bee could achieve alone.
Wow.
This has even inspired AI researchers to develop swarm algorithms. These algorithms help solve complex optimization problems by mimicking the decentralized problem solving of insect swarms.
That's incredible. Tiny individual insects contributing to this massive intelligent whole. It really makes you think about how simple components can create something much more complex.
It does. And if we take that idea a step further, you could even argue that the brain itself is an example of collective intelligence. Think of individual neurons, which are relatively simple on their own, interacting to form mini columns, which then organize into larger brain regions. And finally, the whole brain emerges with its incredible capacity for knowledge and problem solving. Each level builds upon the last, creating something far more intricate and capable.
So it's like a biological version of building blocks, with each step leading to more complex abilities. But even when we look at creatures that seem simple, like a worm, things aren't so straightforward, are they?
Exactly. Even when we look at seemingly simple creatures like the C. elegans worm with its mere 302 neurons, understanding their nervous system isn't easy. It's all deeply interconnected with the organism's entire biochemistry. So even simplicity at this level can be incredibly complex to fully grasp.
It sounds like the more we investigate, the more layers of complexity we uncover. Now, let's shift our focus to how intelligence manifests in its many forms across the animal kingdom.
What's truly remarkable is the sheer diversity. Generally, we observe that as brain complexity increases, we tend to see more complex behaviors. While human behavior is often considered the most complex, it's worth noting that there are interesting parallels between certain animal behaviors and those sometimes seen in humans with specific developmental conditions.
That's a really interesting connection.
Yeah.
It highlights that intelligence isn't just a single scale, but a whole range of different abilities.
Precisely. Animal intelligence is studied in a multitude of ways, and it's crucial to remember that it's often highly specialized to the particular needs and environment of each species.
Okay, so let's zoom in on one group that often gets a bit of an unfair reputation when it comes to smarts.
Mm-hmm.
Birds. It's time to finally put that old bird brain stereotype to rest, right?
Absolutely. The research on bird intelligence is truly eye-opening. We're talking about crows that have been shown to count up to about 6, associate complex visual and auditory cues with rewards, and recognize a wide variety of objects. Their ability to navigate and remember locations, their spatial orientation is also incredible.
I've heard some amazing stories about crows solving puzzles, like figuring out how to get food that seems completely out of reach.
Exactly. They can figure out detours around obstacles, learn new tricks just by watching other birds, and even use tools in incredibly inventive ways. Think about Japanese crows that drop nuts onto roads so that cars will crack them open, or crows and Darwin's finches that use twigs to fish for insects. These are well-documented examples of their resourcefulness.
And what about Betty, the crow bending wire? That's almost become a legendary example of animal intelligence.
It has. Betty spontaneously bent a straight piece of wire into a hook to retrieve a basket containing food. And it wasn't just a lucky accident. Other crows have demonstrated similar wire-bending abilities.
Wow.
Even smaller birds, like wrens, have been observed using sharp edges of plants as tools. It really makes you wonder about the convergent evolution of problem-solving skills across such different species.
That's incredible ingenuity.
It is. And then you have corvids, the crow family, figuring out the water displacement task, dropping heavy stones into a narrow pitcher to raise the water level and reach a floating treat. They quickly learn not to waste their time with light, floating objects. And it's not just about these complex physical tasks. Crows also communicate in subtle ways using a range of quiet sounds, and researchers are actively working to understand the meaning of these different vocalizations. They can even count aloud by making sounds that correspond to numbers up to 4.
So much for bird brain indeed. What about other birds? Pigeons are everywhere, but are they actually smart?
Research has shown that pigeons exhibit a surprisingly diverse range of intelligent behaviors as well. And let's not overlook domestic chickens. Lori Marino's research really highlights their complex social and emotional lives. They have a clear pecking order, can remember where food has been hidden even after a significant amount of time, use at least 24 distinct vocalizations to communicate with each other, and even have individual personalities.
Chickens with distinct personalities.
Yeah.
That's a detail you don't often hear.
It is. And then there's the truly remarkable story of Alex the gray parrot, who was studied extensively by Irene Pepperberg. Alex could recognize around 50 different objects, distinguish 7 colors and 5 geometric shapes, understand spatial relationships, count up to 6, and use approximately 150 words in a meaningful way.
Wow.
The Alex Foundation continues this really important work. We also have anecdotal reports of birds like Ariel, a macaw, who is said to know around 4,000 phrases.
4,000? That's an astonishing vocabulary.
It is. And experiments with another African gray parrot named Griffin demonstrated logical reasoning abilities that were comparable to those of a 5-year-old human. It seems that the parrot's ability to mimic complex sounds might be linked to their evolutionary history, going back about 29 million years, and the development of additional layers of neurons in their brains that are specifically dedicated to controlling the muscles involved in producing those sounds.
Huh.
This duplication of brain structures at a genetic level, followed by specialization, seems to have allowed for these unique abilities to emerge.
So that vocal mimicry isn't just about imitation. It's actually connected to brain structure and potentially higher cognitive functions.
Exactly. And here's where it gets really interesting. When scientists compared the number of neurons in the brains of 28 different bird species, they made a fascinating discovery. Corvids and parrots have about twice as many neurons as you would expect for their brain size.
Twice as many.
Yeah. These incredibly dense brains, around 1.2 billion neurons in crows and 1.3 billion in parrots, allow them to solve complex tasks just as effectively as chimpanzees, which have over 7 billion neurons in total, even though the birds have far fewer neurons overall.
Wow.
For comparison, humans have around 16 billion neurons just in their cerebral cortex. It really challenges the idea that sheer brain size is the only measure of intelligence. Could a smaller, more efficient brain sometimes be advantageous?
That's a huge difference in total numbers, but the density seems to be a really key factor for the birds.
Yeah, precisely. And the overall brain structure of birds, despite some outward differences, is actually quite similar to that of mammals at the neurochemical, physiological, and functional levels. For example, the avian NCL is considered analogous to the mammalian prefrontal cortex.
Okay.
And as you know, the prefrontal cortex in mammals is associated with higher level functions like planning and decision making. So learning, memory, imagination, generalization, and decision making operate on surprisingly similar principles in both birds and mammals.
It sounds like evolution has found different pathways to achieve complex cognition.
Exactly. Mammals generally evolved larger brains, while birds evolved smaller, highly optimized, and densely packed brains, likely driven by the demands of flight, where quick processing and minimal weight are absolutely crucial. Another fascinating aspect of this optimization is how some birds, like swallows, experience rapid neurogenesis, the creation of new neurons in specific brain regions during their breeding season, with neuron numbers almost doubling, only to undergo neurodegeneration, the loss of neurons, after the breeding period ends. It's a remarkable adaptation for energy efficiency.
Wow, the brain actually changing size and neuron count depending on the time of year. That's incredible.
It is. And speaking of birds and their potential, it's a little known fact that during World War II, there were serious, though ultimately never implemented, ideas for pigeon-guided bombs and bat bombs.
Really?
Yeah. Skinner's Project Pigeon aimed to have pigeons inside bombs peck at an image of a target ship on a screen, effectively steering the bomb. Bat bombs involved attaching small incendiary devices to bats that would then roost in buildings, hopefully causing widespread fires.
Those are some pretty wild ideas. It really shows how people were trying to think outside the box and harness animal abilities in very unexpected ways.
Indeed. And on a less explosive note, consider birds like frigate birds and albatrosses, which can stay aloft for weeks at a time. They can actually sleep in flight for short periods.
Wow.
Penguins, on the other hand, experience thousands of microsleeps, just seconds long, throughout the day. The longest continuous sleep episode observed in penguins over 10 days was a mere 34 seconds.
34 seconds.
Yep. These frequent microsleeps are quite rare in humans, usually occurring only when someone is severely sleep-deprived. It's amazing how different species have adapted their sleep patterns to fit their unique lifestyles.
It really is. Now, we've spent a good amount of time exploring the fascinating intelligence of birds. Mm-hmm. What about intelligence in other parts of the animal kingdom?
While we can't go into exhaustive detail on every single group, it's definitely worth noting that even fish display intelligent behaviors. Sophisticated mating dances and the construction of elaborate nests, like those built by the male mandarin fish, are clear indicators of cognitive abilities that have likely evolved through sexual selection. And surprisingly, even spiders engage in their own intricate dances as part of their mating rituals.
So intelligence can manifest in even seemingly simple interactions like mating rituals. Now let's shift our attention to mammals, a group we're obviously very interested in, being mammals ourselves.
Mammalian intelligence encompasses a truly vast spectrum of abilities. Take Rico, the border collie, for example. He could recognize the names of around 200 different toys and understand simple syntax related to fetching them.
200 toys?
Yeah. What's particularly impressive is his memory retention and his ability to learn a new word after hearing it only once, a process called fast mapping, which is similar to how young children acquire language.
That's an incredible learning capacity, almost like how young children pick up new words so quickly.
Precisely. And then you have prairie dogs with their remarkably complex communication system. Khan Slobachikov's research has revealed that they use different alarm calls for various predators, and these calls even contain specific information about the predator's size, color, and speed of approach. Playback of these calls elicits very specific escape behaviors in the prairie dogs, suggesting a sophisticated level of information transfer. It's like they have their own detailed threat assessment system.
It really sounds like it.
They do. And it gets even more interesting. Research in bioacoustics has shown that animals can learn to react appropriately to alarm calls from entirely different species.
No way.
For example, cygnets, which are a type of deer, will respond to the distress calls of seal pups. And syslix, a type of ground squirrel, learn to assess the reliability of different alarm callers, essentially ignoring those that frequently give false alarms and reacting instantly to the calls of reliable ones.
That's smart.
Even insects and caterpillars communicate using sound. The Sounds of Nature program highlighted many such examples. This suggests a fundamental aspect to certain communication signals that transcends species boundaries.
It's amazing how interconnected the animal world is through these communication signals.
Absolutely. The development of mirror neurons, which are believed to play a crucial role in imitation and understanding the actions of others, might be a key factor in the evolution of intelligence, along with the pressures of social complexity and environmental challenges. Dogs, for instance, are very adept at understanding human intentions. They can comprehend an average of around 165 symbols, including words and gestures, which puts them at a cognitive level roughly comparable to a 2 to 2.5-year-old child.
Okay.
Stanley Coren's work provided a ranking of dog breeds by trainability, with border collies, poodles, and German shepherds at the top. Although it's important to remember that his tests focused more on their aptitude for training rather than a comprehensive measure of innate intelligence. However, other research has generally supported his findings.
It makes sense that dogs, having lived so closely alongside humans for so long, would develop a strong ability to read our cues. Now let's talk about pigs. They often get unfairly labeled as just being dirty animals, but I've heard they're surprisingly smart.
That's a common misconception, and research actually shows that pigs are surprisingly intelligent, even outperforming dogs in some cognitive areas. Stanley Curtis at Penn State University used joystick tasks in video games, and he found that pigs could learn abstract distinctions like point to a specific object,
right,
whereas dogs in the same tasks tended to learn only locations, like the top left corner.
Interesting.
Pigs can also learn and remember a variety of commands like sit, jump, and fetch for extended periods, and can even generalize these behaviors to different objects.
That's quite a leading capacity.
It is. They also lead complex social lives, have different vocalizations to communicate with their offspring, experience REM sleep and likely dream, possess good spatial orientation, learn by observing each other, and can even engage in deceptive behavior to get food.
Deceptive, wow.
Because of their intelligence and their need for mental stimulation, regulations in Europe even mandate providing pigs with toys like rubber balls to reduce stress, which, somewhat ironically, can actually lead to better quality meat due to lower cortisol levels. Experiments with coon pigs in New Zealand have shown that they learn from each other and copy the behaviors of older pigs, retaining these learned behaviors for at least 6 months, demonstrating excellent long-term memory.
So pigs are not only smart, but also have complex social and emotional needs. What about some other mammals that are perhaps a little less in the spotlight?
Rats, for example, have surprised researchers in experiments where they would actually free other rats from cages. A significant number of rats would figure out how to open a cage to release another rat, even when they were given the option of getting chocolate instead.
They chose helping over chocolate.
Sometimes. And in about half of those trials, the freed rat was even allowed to share the chocolate. This really suggests the potential for pro-social behavior in these animals.
That's a really heartwarming example of unexpected cooperation.
It is. Meerkats, which live in very close-knit social groups in Africa, also exhibit strong social bonds. There's a documented observation of an alpha male meerkat who cared for a blind pup for an entire month before tragically dying while trying to distract a cheetah that was drawn to the pup's calls.
Oh, that's sad but amazing.
And back in 2012, dingoes were observed displaying problem-solving skills by moving a table from one side of their enclosure to the other so they could climb on it and reach food that had been hung high up.
These are all such fascinating examples of the diverse ways intelligence manifests across the mammalian world. Now let's delve into the realm of social intelligence and primate cognition, which is obviously very relevant to understanding ourselves.
Indeed. When we consider social intelligence on a broader scale, it's a sobering thought that organized warfare isn't unique to humans. Ants and even chimpanzees engage in territorial conflicts. This challenges the somewhat romanticized idea of the noble savage and reminds us that the development of non-aggressive social norms in human societies has been a long and ongoing process. Steven Pinker's research has actually highlighted a historical trend of decreasing violence in human history. Interestingly, while violence does exist in the animal kingdom, the phenomenon of suicide doesn't seem to occur.
That's a stark contrast. So animals demonstrate intelligence in so many different ways, from abstract thinking to recognizing individuals across species and even in behaviors that we might consider moral, as well as in problem solving and tool use.
Exactly. And the fundamental way that animal brains process information, while varying in specific structures depending on the species, operates on surprisingly similar principles to our own. The Inside Animal Minds series provides many compelling examples of this. In fact, in certain cognitive tasks, young children are actually outperformed by other species like birds, seals, or chimpanzees.
That really puts our human-centric view of intelligence into perspective.
It does. It's crucial, however, to be cautious when interpreting animal behavior and to always be mindful of the clever Hans phenomenon. This refers to a horse in the early 20th century that seemed to be able to do math and spell, but it turned out that Hans wasn't actually performing these cognitive tasks. He was unconsciously picking up on very subtle cues in the behavior of his questioners.
Ah, yes.
Even slight movements or changes in posture would signal to him when to stop tapping his hoof. This really emphasizes the importance of rigorous observation and carefully controlled experiments in animal intelligence research.
That's a good reminder to always be critical and look for the underlying explanations. What other fascinating behaviors do we see that hint at deeper cognitive abilities?
Elephants, for instance, have been observed visiting what appear to be elephant cemeteries and showing a clear interest in the skulls, tusks, and bones of deceased elephants. They also possess phenomenal memories, able to locate water sources that they haven't visited for decades.
Incredible memory.
It really underscores that animal intelligence in one area can far exceed human abilities while perhaps lagging behind in others. But there's no doubt that many animals possess minds capable of memory, some form of thought, the ability to plan, and likely some level of theory of mind, which is the ability to understand that other individuals have their own thoughts, beliefs, and intentions that may be different from your own.
So as we move closer to ourselves on the evolutionary tree, let's focus on the primate family and those connections.
The primate family is incredibly diverse, with over 400 different species, including the four hominids, or great apes, that are most closely related to us: orangutans, chimpanzees, including bonobos, gorillas, and ourselves. Chimpanzees diverged from our ancestors approximately 6 million years ago, gorillas around 7 million years ago, and the entire group of great apes branched off from other monkeys about 35 million years ago.
Wow.
Because of our very close biological similarities in terms of body structure and DNA, humans have even been referred to as the third chimpanzee.
It really highlights our very close evolutionary ties.
Yeah.
What about the intelligence that we observe in these other great apes?
Long-term studies of orangutans by researchers like Carol Van Schaik suggest that culture, which is the ability to learn from others through observation and imitation, plays a really key role in their intelligence. They've been observed using sticks as tools to extract the flesh from fruits that have irritating hairs on the outside, much like humans in Asia use chopsticks.
Interesting.
There's even a documented case of an orangutan with a facial wound who was observed using a plant known for its medicinal properties, suggesting not just tool use, but also potentially the transmission of knowledge about medicine.
That's not just basic tool use, but also potentially the transmission of knowledge about remedies.
Exactly. The study of primate phylogeny, which is essentially the study of our evolutionary relationships, is still an active area of research with ongoing debates. Some researchers, like Jay Grannon and J.H. Schwartz, have actually challenged findings based solely on DNA analysis, arguing that based on certain physical traits, orangutans might be more closely related to humans than chimpanzees are. They point to a number of unique physical features shared by humans and orangutans. It's a good reminder that understanding evolutionary history is a complex puzzle with different lines of evidence that need to be considered.
It certainly is. While the genetic differences between humans and other great apes might seem relatively small, even seemingly minor genetic variations can have very significant impacts, can't they?
Absolutely. Projects like the ENCODE project have really highlighted the crucial regulatory role of non-coding DNA. This non-coding DNA doesn't directly code for proteins, but it influences when and how genes are activated or deactivated.
Right, the junk DNA that isn't really junk.
Exactly. This regulation plays a vital role in development, including the very complex development of the brain. So simply having certain genes isn't enough. It's how those genes are expressed that truly matters. And this expression can be influenced by factors during embryonic development, even later by environmental factors. Interestingly, molecular geneticists even consider the social environment to have been a major selective pressure driving the evolution of larger brains in primates.
So it's not just about the genes themselves, but how they're regulated. And it seems like those social interactions might have played a significant role in pushing brain development. Now, a huge part of what we often think of as intelligence is communication. How does animal communication compare to the complexity of human language?
Human language goes far beyond the relatively simpler signaling systems we see in most animals. While birds have elaborate signaling systems and their songs can be incredibly complex, often learned through imitation with subtle variations, the meaning is usually quite specific, such as proclaiming territory or attracting a mate. Similarly, whale songs exhibit a lot of variation and even regional themes, but experts don't currently believe they convey novel or abstract meanings. For the most part, monkeys don't typically imitate vocal sounds or combine them into sequences with variable grammatical structure.
So animal communication tends to be more fixed in its meaning.
Generally, yes. However, we are continually discovering fascinating exceptions and more nuanced forms of communication. Cuttlefish, for example, can change color patterns on their bodies in incredibly intricate ways to communicate, and they can even send different signals simultaneously to the left and right sides of their body, potentially to communicate different things to different individuals.
Oh.
We are really only beginning to scratch the surface of understanding what information they convey with these dynamic displays.
That's like having two completely different conversations happening at the same time.
Precisely. And then there are some really intriguing hypotheses about dolphin communication. The Speak Dolphin Project has proposed a sono-pictorial exo-holographic language, CL, which suggests that dolphins might use reflected ultrasound to transmit something akin to holographic images.
Holographic images, seriously.
That's the hypothesis. Project CETI is currently undertaking the ambitious task of analyzing the complex vocalizations of sperm whales. In one fascinating experiment, dolphins were able to recognize specific objects based on reflected ultrasounds that were recorded and then played back to them, with a surprisingly high accuracy rate of around 86%.
86%, wow.
The researchers even believe they've identified elements that might function as nouns and verbs in dolphin communication. There's also a technique called cymoscope, which is used to visualize acoustic signals by observing the patterns of vibration they create on a membrane or water surface.
The idea of dolphins communicating in what are essentially sound-based pictures is really mind-blowing. It makes you wonder how their thinking might be different if it's primarily image-based rather than our sequential language-driven thought processes.
Exactly. It would likely be a much more concrete form of thought. Our words often evoke a range of associations and sometimes ambiguous images, whereas transmitting literal images might allow for more direct and less ambiguous communication.
Hmm.
Chimpanzees in the wild recognize at least 66 different gestures that they use for communication. What's particularly interesting is the rapid back and forth nature of their gesturing, with an average interval of just 120 milliseconds between gestures, which is quite similar to the pace of human conversation.
That's fast.
Attempts to teach sign language to chimpanzees have resulted in them acquiring vocabularies of up to 200, 250 different symbols, and they can even create sentence-like structures using up to 7 signs. These chimpanzees do communicate with humans and even among themselves using sign language. This research has also found valuable applications in helping autistic children and even human infants learn to communicate before they develop full control over their vocal cords.
So while it might not be exactly the same as the complexity of human language, they can definitely use symbols to communicate in meaningful ways.
They can. The origins of human language are a topic of intense debate and ongoing research. Evolutionary linguistics is making significant progress by looking at evidence from genetics, linguistics, and even computer simulations that model how meaning can emerge from the exchange of symbols between agents working on a shared task. There are generally two main schools of thought. The jump theory, which proposes a relatively recent and uniquely human language instinct, and the gradual theory, which suggests that human language evolved over time from earlier forms of animal communication, possibly starting with gestures. Nina Jablonski's research even proposes that the loss of body hair in humans might have driven us to rely more on facial expressions, gestures, and vocalizations for communication.
It sounds like a really fascinating puzzle, with pieces coming from many different scientific fields. But when we see these language-like behaviors in apes, is there a concern that it might just be another case of the clever Hans effect we talked about earlier?
That's a really critical question to consider. Simply reacting to a command isn't enough to qualify as true language use. Understanding syntax, which is the grammatical rules that govern how we combine words to create meaning, is absolutely key. However, there have been some truly remarkable cases. Kanzi, the bonobo, has demonstrated impressive comprehension of spoken language, even understanding novel and grammatically complex requests that he's never heard before.
Right, Kanzi. I've heard about him.
For example, when researchers asked him, "Can you make the dog bite the snake?" a request he had never encountered previously, Kanzi was able to find toy animals and make the dog bite the snake. In a test involving 600 grammatically complex questions, his responses were correct about 74% of the time.
74%. That's significant.
Kanzi also learned to nap stones to create sharp edges that he could use to open boxes and access food.
That level of comprehension is really quite impressive.
It is. Other chimpanzees, like Washu, Vicky, Sarah, Pamanisha, who is Kanzi's sister, and Nim Chimpsky, were also taught to communicate using sign language and symbols on a board called a lexigram board, with varying degrees of success. Nim, who was raised in a human-like environment, learned to use around 125 different symbols in appropriate contexts, but he didn't seem to grasp the rules of grammar or spontaneously create new combinations of symbols in the way that human children do.
So there are limits.
It's generally believed that a chimpanzee's ability to master syntax doesn't exceed that of a 2-year-old human child. The gorilla Coco and the orangutan Chantek also showed some success in learning sign language, with Coco even displaying a sense of humor.
The use of these keyboards with symbols seems to have been quite effective in facilitating communication.
It has certainly yielded some very interesting results. Ken Schweller, who worked extensively with bonobos, believes that his subjects understand several thousand different concepts. He has even stated that language might not be entirely unique to humans, and that other species, given the right environment and opportunities, can develop communication abilities to a significant degree, perhaps not reaching our level of sophistication, but certainly to a point where we can engage in meaningful communication with them.
That's a pretty radical idea, that language isn't something that's exclusively human.
It is, and we see further evidence of the complex cognitive abilities of chimpanzees in their tool use and their capacity for planning. Chimpanzees create simple tools like termite fishing probes and sharpened sticks that they use for hunting smaller animals.
Right.
Capuchin monkeys in Brazil have been observed carrying heavy stones over long distances to crack open nuts that they've first dried in the sun, and they learn this complex technique through imitation.
That takes planning.
Chimpanzees also show evidence of being able to plan for the future. For example, Santino, a chimpanzee at the Furuvik Zoo, was observed collecting stones before the zoo opened to the public, which he would then later throw at tourists.
Ah, cheeky.
They also show some interesting indicators of theory of mind. After watching a video that depicted a problem, a chimpanzee was able to select a picture containing the tool that would be needed to solve that problem, like a key to open a cage or a stick to reach a banana.
These examples really highlight their cognitive flexibility and their ability to think ahead.
Indeed. The work of Frans de Waal has documented numerous examples of what appear to be caring, altruistic, loyal, forgiving, and cooperative behaviors in primates, suggesting a biological basis for what we consider to be moral decisions. He often describes Homo sapiens as a bipolar ape, existing somewhere on a spectrum between the more aggressive and competitive chimpanzee and the more cooperative bonobo.
Interesting description.
Chimpanzee societies tend to be hierarchical, with an alpha male often controlling a harem, while bonobo societies are generally more egalitarian, with females playing a dominant role in resolving conflicts through social interactions like grooming and sex, which isn't solely for reproduction. Bonobos exhibit strong signs of empathy, with de Waal even suggesting that they might starve to spare others suffering.
Wow.
Entire bonobo groups will adapt to the needs of an individual with a disability, and they show evidence of understanding what others know or see. There are also documented cases of interspecies empathy, such as a chimpanzee helping a stunned starling, and the famous case of the gorilla Binti Wa rescuing a child who fell into her enclosure.
Right, I remember that story.
Chimpanzees clearly value things like food, sex, and power. They reciprocate favors and they plan their actions. Their societies exhibit a wide range of human-like characteristics, both positive and negative, and there's evidence of cultural transmission, with local customs being passed down through generations. Perhaps the only types of emotions that require a very strong sense of self-awareness, like shame, might be less developed in animals. De Waal's extensive writings and the research coming out of centers like the Center for the Advanced Study of Ape and Human Evolution offer a wealth of information on all of this.
It's really incredible to see so many parallels between primate social behaviors and our own. Now let's shift our attention to the topic of social hierarchies, which seems to be a very fundamental aspect of many animal societies.
Social hierarchies in animals that fight for territory or live in groups have very ancient origins, dating back hundreds of millions of years. Crabs, for example, haven't changed much in about 350 million years, and they fiercely compete for territory and mates. The pecking order observed in chickens is a classic example of a linear social ranking. Interestingly, the neural mechanisms that underlie dominance behavior are remarkably similar across a wide range of species, from crabs all the way up to humans. Serotonin levels appear to play a key role, with individuals lower in the social hierarchy often having lower levels of serotonin, which in turn can correlate with increased stress and even a shorter lifespan.
Oh, wow.
Various intelligence tests that have been devised for animals have also led to a rough hierarchy of animal cognitive abilities, generally placing great apes at the top, followed by other monkeys, dolphins, whales, dogs, octopuses, birds, and so on. These social hierarchies provide distinct benefits to those at the top in terms of access to resources and greater opportunities for reproduction. We can even see parallels in human societies, such as caste systems or class structures.
It sounds like these social structures are deeply ingrained and likely provide some significant evolutionary advantages.
Right.
Now, you mentioned a baboon clique in the Bronx Zoo. That sounds like a really fascinating case study in social intelligence.
It truly is. Vita Strosher's book, The Survival Code, describes this particular baboon clique as exhibiting a very high level of social intelligence, with intricate forms of greetings, political intrigues, ongoing power struggles, the formation cliques, a specific court etiquette around the ruling leader, tactical deceptions, emotional displays, scapegoating, the strategic act of helping those in power, forming alliances, engaging in betrayals, and even orchestrating rebellions.
Good grief.
Their behavior, focused largely on social maneuvering and plotting, bears a striking similarity to human social interactions and can be just as sophisticated.
It sounds like a real-life primate soap opera playing out.
Exactly. The baboon leader is typically distinguished by his large canines and a long mane of hair that grows in after he achieves his dominant status. The troop operates under a clear hierarchical structure and a strong sense of honor within that structure. Every member who passes the leader is expected to perform a specific salute, the form of which depends on their own rank and the leader's current gaze. The most basic form is a brief presentation of their bright red buttocks.
Right, the buttock presentation.
Higher-ranking individuals might perform a more submissive crouch with a more pronounced display. These gestures are purely symbolic, serving as constant reminders of social status and expressions of submission and friendship within the established hierarchy. Grooming, often referred to as isking in this context, is another crucial social activity, with access to the leader and other high-ranking individuals strictly determined by rank. The leader's closest allies might be allowed to groom him with both hands, other important males with one hand, and lower-ranking males might only be permitted to groom him with a single finger. Younger baboons who haven't yet gained favor often observe these interactions from a distance, learning the complex social rules. Even minor breaches of this strict etiquette, such as an improper greeting, are met with immediate punishment to maintain the social order.
Wow, strict.
Higher-ranking baboons can punish lower ranks with a piercing stare that sends them fleeing in panic. More severe punishments include a gesture resembling floor wiping, and in the most extreme cases, biting, often on the neck, and even expulsion from the group.
So there are very clear and strictly enforced rules and consequences for social behavior within the baboon troop. How do individual baboons attempt to climb this social ladder?
By strategically making influential friends, of course. Since the late 1970s, it's been well documented that primates employ quite sophisticated, multi-layered alliance strategies. The most common initial tactic is simply helping an ally with a minor task, such as ganging up on a weaker, lower-ranking individual. A successful shared victory helps to strengthen the bond between the allies.
Makes sense.
Allied baboons will sometimes come to each other's aid if a higher-ranking baboon attacks one of them, but the potential risks and the chances of success must be carefully assessed before intervening. Forming strategic alliances and consistently showing respect to higher-ranking individuals are really the keys to joining a powerful clique and gradually climbing the social hierarchy.
It sounds very strategic and almost politically savvy.
It is, and they also appear to be capable of deliberate deception. We've already discussed how some bird species have been observed giving false alarm calls to scare others away from a food source. While this behavior is relatively rare, likely to maintain the credibility of the warning system, it appears to be more sophisticated in primates. Researchers like Andrew Whiten and Richard Byrne have documented hundreds of cases of what they term tactical deception in baboons.
Tactical deception.
Okay. For instance, a young baboon might wait for an adult female to dig up a particularly tasty tuber and then suddenly let out a loud distress call as if it were in danger. Its own mother would then immediately rush over and chase away the digging female, allowing the youngster to enjoy the prized tuber all to itself. In another instance, a baboon learned how to remotely open a box containing highly desirable bananas. Upon noticing a competitor approaching, the baboon quickly closed the box and moved away, pretending that nothing was there. Once the competitor had left the area, the baboon returned and opened the box. However, in this particular case, the competitor, suspecting some trickery, had hidden nearby and then attempted to steal the bananas. These examples strongly suggest that chimpanzees and baboons are indeed capable of tactical deception.
That level of cunning is quite surprising.
Baboon behavior exhibits many subtle nuances. A senior baboon who has just been scolded by an even more powerful individual in front of a younger baboon might then take out its frustration by suddenly attacking a completely random observer nearby.
Displaced aggression, yeah.
Revenge also doesn't seem to be entirely unknown. One particularly clever baboon was observed hiding behind the troop leader while another baboon was paying its respects, the buttock presentation, and while hidden, the clever baboon was making faces and pretending to wipe the floor with its enemy.
No, that's hilarious.
The sexual customs within baboon troops are also quite complex. Females in estrus will initially seek out younger males, but during their peak fertility, they invariably attract the attention of the dominant males, and the younger males must then keep their distance. In one documented case, a young male was actually seduced by the leader's favorite female and taken to a secluded spot. However, someone apparently alerted the leader, who caught them in the act.
Oh, dear.
The female immediately screamed, loudly blaming the young male as a rapist, which resulted in a severe beating and his eventual expulsion from the clique. This particular young baboon later managed to find allies and instigate a palace coup, ultimately overthrowing the ruling clique. Such dramatic revolutions within densely populated baboon enclosures are rare, occurring perhaps only once a decade, and typically only result in a change of the ruling clique rather than a fundamental shift in the social structure itself.
It sounds like a constant power struggle with intricate webs of alliances and betrayals.
And it's not just limited to baboons. Long-term field observations of vervet monkey troops in Kenya by researchers like Dorothy Cheney and Robert Seafarth have revealed similarly complex social dynamics. An aggressive act by one individual can quickly escalate into violence involving relatives and allies on both sides.
Right.
Each monkey appears to know its precise place within the social hierarchy and who its key allies and enemies are. Navigating these intricate relationships requires a significant degree of social intelligence, and high-ranking monkeys must essentially be skilled politicians. Their success depends on their ability to accurately predict the behavior of all other troop members.
Skilled politicians.
It's quite reasonable to assume that social life in early hominid groups was likely even more complex, creating strong selective pressures for the development of greater intelligence. The ambition, the desire for power, the sense of importance, the feeling of offense, the seeking of revenge, the use of flattery, the formation of alliances. These fundamental social behaviors seem to have deep roots in brain structure located in the midbrain, which are remarkably similar in both humans and many other animals.
Mm-hmm.
The primary differences lie in the more recent development of the neocortex, particularly the frontal lobes, which enable more abstract and rational thought in humans. However, as we all know, in humans, rational thought doesn't always dominate behavior.
Right.
It's also interesting to note that there are instances of apes engaging in activities that seem to be artistic in nature, such as molding clay or even painting. Behaviors also observed in other mammals, like elephants. Desmond Morris's influential 1967 book, The Naked Ape, which compared human behavior extensively to that of other animals and emphasized our fundamental biological nature, was another important step away from purely anthropocentric views. We are continually gaining a deeper understanding of animal minds, especially those of species that are closer to us evolutionarily, although, as we know, even understanding the nuances of other human cultures can be quite challenging.
It really makes you wonder if some of the social maneuvering we see in those baboons isn't all that different from what we sometimes observe in human politics.
That certainly raises an interesting point for reflection. While social intelligence is undoubtedly a crucial aspect of complex societies, it's important to remember that it's not the only factor that drives the development of civilization.
Okay, let's move on to our final topic for this deep dive.
Okay.
The fascinating and often debated area of animal consciousness.
It is indeed a multifaceted area of study. The question of animal self-awareness has been approached from many different scientific angles. Gordon Gallup's mirror test was one of the earliest experimental attempts to verify self-recognition in animals. The procedure involves placing an odorless mark on an animal's body while it's either asleep or otherwise unaware, and then observing its reaction when it sees its reflection in a mirror that it has previously encountered.
Right, the mirror test.
Interestingly, many animals, such as cats, dogs, horses, and most other non-primate species, typically don't recognize themselves in the mirror, often treating their reflection as if it were another animal. Some territorial fish will even display mating or aggressive behaviors towards their own reflection. However, several species have been shown to pass the mirror test, including chimpanzees, both common and bonobo, orangutans, dolphins, orcas, some individual elephants, pigs, pigeons, magpies, crows, owls, and some species of parrots. Human children typically begin to pass this test around 18 to 24 months of age. Gorillas, perhaps due to their tendency to avoid direct eye contact, which they perceive as a sign of aggression, generally don't pass the standard mirror test. Although Coco, the gorilla who learned sign language, did show some evidence of self-recognition in a mirror, primates that do pass often engage in behaviors directed at their reflection, such as making faces, grooming themselves in areas they couldn't normally see, and generally behaving in ways that suggest they recognize the image as their own.
Right.
Young cats, for example, might initially play with their reflection for a few days, but they typically lose interest, perhaps because they can predict its movements perfectly and it lacks olfactory and auditory information. Moving the mirror might briefly re-engage their interest, but they don't seem to recognize it as themselves. There have been observations of elephants and pigs using mirrors to locate food that was placed in a location visible only in the reflection. Dolphins show interest in marks made on their bodies, but don't consistently focus on their overall appearance in a mirror.
Interesting nuance with the dolphins.
It's important to note that many of these studies require further replication, and conclusions drawn from observations of single animals, including elephants, dolphins, magpies, manta rays, and octopuses, should be interpreted with caution, keeping the potential for a clever Hans effect in mind.
So while passing the mirror test seems to indicate some level of self-awareness, it's clearly not the only measure, and there are still a lot of questions.
Exactly. And the mirror test isn't even limited to mammals and birds. Cleaner wrasse, which are small fish that feed on characites on larger reef fish, have also been shown to pass a modified version of the mirror test. They recognize their reflections and will try to rub off brown marks that researchers place on them that resemble parasites, but they don't react to transparent blue or green marks or to marks that are placed on the mirror itself.
Fish passing the mirror test. Wow.
This suggests that they have learned to recognize their own visual appearance. Surprisingly, ants have also been observed touching marks on their heads after being exposed to a mirror while ignoring other ants that they can see through a glass barrier. It's crucial to confirm that these findings are indeed due to visual self-recognition and not some other sensory input.
Ants too. Okay, that's wild.
DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, even launched a project in 2019 to model insect nervous systems, and part of their speculation involves the possibility of a very primitive form of consciousness in insects.
It really makes you wonder about the fundamental building blocks of what we consider self-awareness.
It does. There's currently no definitive checklist of criteria that definitively defines consciousness. In human children, passing the mirror test around 18 months often correlates with the emergence of self-conscious emotions like embarrassment and the increased use of the pronoun I. Around the age of 4, children typically develop a more robust theory of mind, although some elements of it, like the ability to deceive others, can appear earlier. It's plausible that the level of consciousness in highly developed animals, while certainly complex, may not exceed that of a 2 to 3-year-old human child, potentially due to inherent limitations in brain complexity compared to adult humans. Another approach to understanding animal consciousness involves carefully analyzing brain structures. The absence of certain neural structures that are known to be necessary for specific complex cognitive functions in mammals might suggest limitations in those functions in other species.
Right, looking at the hardware.
While fish do show physiological responses to pain, interpreting these responses as suffering in the same way a mammal might is still a difficult question. However, the likelihood of pain perception in mammals is generally well accepted. Cephalopods, such as octopuses, squid, and cuttlefish, are a particularly fascinating example of convergent evolution, as they have developed sophisticated neural mechanisms that likely support some form of conscious experience, despite having a very different overall organization of their nervous systems compared to vertebrates.
Octopuses. Yeah, they're incredible.
Octopuses, for instance, have 3 hearts and 9 brain-like nerve centers, with the majority of their neurons located in their arms, which can largely operate autonomously. Despite this decentralized structure, they exhibit remarkable intelligence, including tool use, the ability to recognize individual humans, excellent spatial memory, and incredibly sophisticated camouflage abilities. Squid also show high levels of intelligence. A 2021 study even demonstrated that squid are capable of delayed gratification, exhibiting behavior similar to that seen in the famous marshmallow experiment with children.
It's amazing that such fundamentally different creatures could evolve similar levels of cognitive ability.
It truly is, and it raises the fundamental question of whether even simpler brains might be capable of supporting some form of consciousness. Communication within social groups seems to be a particularly relevant factor. Bees, despite having relatively small brains, communicate the precise location of nectar sources through their intricate dances within the hive, and this requires both memory and what could be considered a form of imagination, an internal neural activation in the absence of immediate external stimuli. Imagination in bees.
One simple model proposes that consciousness might be fundamentally linked to imagination, plus the ability to communicate those internal states, whether through gestures or vocalizations. Understanding exactly what kinds of experiences and under what conditions those experiences become conscious is a major challenge for neuroscience, as illustrated by phenomena like visual illusions. Mm. Studying these illusions and using sophisticated neural network simulations can potentially provide some helpful insights.
Mm-hmm.
Bees, with their approximately 1 million neurons, have demonstrated remarkable abilities in predicting nectar locations based on complex cues, learning from each other's dances, and associating visual cues with rewards, suggesting a certain degree of what might be called an inner life, as explored in the Bee-Brained article. While some aspects of human consciousness are likely absent even in our closest primate relatives, what we generally refer to as consciousness is likely a function of brains with varying degrees of complexity.
Right. Naked mole rats, with their complex social structure and clear division of labor that parallels that of bee colonies, offer another intriguing example. Dolphins and whales live in highly bonded social groups with very complex communication systems, leading to frequent comparisons with early human social groups. They share a range of behavioral traits, including forming alliances, cooperative hunting and learning, the use of tools for hunting, complex vocalizations, and even regional dialects, the use of individual names and recognition of individuals, cooperation with other species, alloparenting, where individuals other than the parents care for offspring, and engaging in social play.
So many parallels.
The way humpback whales learn their songs is even considered to be similar to how humans acquire language. However, determining whether animals possess autonoetic consciousness, which is the ability to mentally project oneself into the past or future, is particularly difficult to study experimentally. Joseph Ledoux has proposed the concept of nonverbal noetic consciousness in animals, suggesting that their conscious experience might differ from human consciousness primarily in the lack of a subjective sense of self that is attached to their internal states, but that they still utilize memory to differentiate their own feelings and experiences.
Subtle distinction.
While the underlying similarity in information processing in animal brains suggests this is a real possibility, it remains a significant challenge to verify experimentally.
It sounds like we're really only just beginning to scratch the surface of understanding the different forms and levels of consciousness that exist throughout the animal kingdom.
Absolutely. The more we learn, the more we come to appreciate the incredible complexity and wonder of animal minds.
Well, this has been a truly fascinating deep dive into the world of animal intelligence. We've covered so much ground. From the surprising tool use of crows to the complex language comprehension of bonobos and the intricate social dynamics of baboons.
What's become clear is that intelligence isn't a single entity, but rather a diverse set of cognitive abilities that have evolved in different species to meet their specific environmental and social needs. There isn't just one single type of intelligence. It manifests in countless fascinating ways.
And for you, our listener, we really hope this exploration has provided some valuable insights and those aha moments we promised right at the beginning without leaving you feeling overwhelmed by the sheer amount of information.
If we connect all of this back to the bigger picture, it really compels us to reconsider our own place in the natural world and to more fully appreciate the incredible capabilities of the diverse creatures with whom we share this planet.
So here's a final thought for you to consider long after this deep dive is over. Given the demonstrated cognitive abilities and the intricate social lives of so many animal species that we've discussed today, what are the broader implications for how we understand our relationship with the animal kingdom and how we choose to interact with it? It's definitely something to continue pondering as you maybe delve into some of the fascinating literature and films we've mentioned for further learning. Thanks so much for taking this deep dive with us.